Oh, Reed Martin, Matt Rippey, gentlemen, we have just begun our third week of rehearsal for The Complete World of Sports Abridged. I thought it would be a perfect time to discuss our sports glory days.
So this is going to be a shorter than normal podcast?
I guess it is.
Glory day.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 194, Moments of Glory.
I played tennis tournaments as a kid. And which I mainly loved because I love playing the game, but I mainly loved because I got to get out of school. Oh. I thought that was so cool. Teachers would object at first. You're going to miss 4 days of class because you're going to go do what? I'd say play a tennis tournament. And they go, oh, well, that's kind of cool, actually. So I think I started tournaments in the 10 to 12s. And I carried on, I guess, up until high school. So about age 15 mm-hmm. is when I quit. And I wasn't very good. Never won a tournament. But once I made it to the finals, I was in the finals at a tournament in Galveston, I think it was. And there I was in the finals, and the kid showed up, and he's got his arm in a sling. His throwing arm
Uh-oh.
Is broken.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, I'm gonna win my first tournament ever. Woo! And he proceeded to whoop me in straight sets. It's never been more humiliated.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So...
my sport was, I had two sports, mostly cross country and track, and cross country was great. I started running sophomore year in high school, and I really had a flair for it. And we ran in the town I grew up in, Piedmont, it's the foothills of Oakland, and so we literally had this. It's a 2 mile course, and the first mile of it is up this one long steady hill. And schools from all over the East Bay would go, oh, I hate running this course. I hate this hill. And part of it is against this white retaining wall, and this white retaining wall would be baked by the sun by about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon when you're running your event. So we're kind of used to it, but it would intimidate the other runners, and then we would run through, you know, past houses of kids we knew. So, you know, kids we knew would stand out on the course with hoses from the yards and hose us down and not hose the other runners down, which is fun. And I was the number one guy on the team for all my sophomore year. And then sort of the tail end of my junior year, people started getting better than me. They started beating me. And I was going, well, what's going on? What's wrong? This has been so easy for me. And I realized that they were actually working at it.
Oh, that.
Yeah, and I was just kind of doing it. But they were actually working out and going to practice and doing things. And I would often have, you know, play rehearsals or whatever. And so I would miss out. And I went, well, if I have to work at it, yeah, I'm not sure I want to do it anymore.
Well, that's like old Steve Young once said, the harder I work, the luckier I get.
Yes, it is. You make your own luck.
Yes. Let's see. I played freshman football.
Okay, yeah, as did I, yeah.
Yeah, we were undefeated, whatever that was, 6 or 7-0. I was a starting left offensive guard. Mm-hmm. I was very offensive and really disliked playing football. We're here in August in Sonoma, So today it's in the 90 degrees, and that's when practice... you know, when practice begins in the season, it's really hot. And football coaches, I don't know if it was just the football coaches I had, and they were nice guys outside the field, but boy, it's just yell, yell, yell. It's like boot camp. And I'm more of a carrot than a stick kind of guy.
Right.
And with a low tolerance for pain that can be avoided.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. I realized when I played freshman football as well, and it was one of the biggest disappointments of my life to know that the game that I enjoyed playing on the street, I hated playing in pads, because suddenly it hurt a lot. And I went, what the hell am I doing? What the hell am I doing for this? The other regret I have, and I don't live my life with regrets. I don't, you know, look at roads not taking anything. I don't have those kinds of things. But if there was one thing I could do differently, I would go back to high school, knowing what I know now, being a grown-up, and putting my game face on. Getting a game face and putting it on. Because I was... better than I know a lot of the starting receivers, certainly. I wasn't the fastest kid out there, but I had good hands. But I was better than a lot of the starting kids, and I didn't play because I was kind of a smartass, you know? I was kind of a wise ass. And I, you know, why, and now thinking back, I go, well, why would the coaches want to play me? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not working as hard as the other guys, and I don't have the right attitude. I've got kind of a flip attitude. And they, you know, that's one thing. If I could invent a time machine, go back, that's the one thing I would do differently. Go back and go, yeah, yeah, I can do this, yeah.
No, see, now if you did it that way, it still wouldn't work.
Why?
I didn't believe it.
Oh, so I got to be a good actor too?
Yeah.
Jesus!
Oh, that's
so many opportunities for regret. But I did actually run our football coach was also our track coach, and he was Kevin McNair. A coach who passed away recently, unfortunately, but he was a great, great motivator, great inspirational guy, and it turned out he ran. Who were the two guys? Who were the Black Power guys who won the gold medals in '68?
Tommy Smith and Carlos.
Something. I'm stumping the chumps here. We talk about these guys.
They're from San Jose State, and Harry Edwards, who taught sociology at Cal when we were there, was one of the guys who was sort of behind that idea. Tommy Smith.
So if you know the answer to this question, please leave it in the comment field on our podcast page.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for that. Anyway, our coach Kevin McNair ran against these guys in college and Olympic trials. And my grandfather, interesting parenthetical footnote, audio footnote time. My grandfather ran against in the Olympic trials of 19, I can't remember what year it was, but he ran against the guys in Chariots of Fire.
Oh, wow.
That they depict in Chariots of Fire. Not the actors. He ran against the athletes, though the actors portray. Anyway, but Coach McNair was a very motivational, inspirational guy, and I remember he started having night track meets, and of course, the first night track meet was the same night we had a performance of the spring musical Oklahoma. And I was playing Ali Hakim the Peddler. I was a sophomore. And my friend Jan Huxman was playing Curly. He was a senior and also a shot putter. A big guy. And I was running the 330 low hurdles. And Jan finished his event. And I ran the 330 low hurdles, and I ran third the whole race. I was running third, but running behind the whole race. I went, I'm losing this. And on the last hurdle, the two guys in front of me from the other team both stumbled. And that was the one hurdle I hit clean. And I passed them on the last hurdle and won the race. And McNair had one of these voices because he was yelling all his life. He said, "Way to go, Titchener. Have a great show." Because we then had to leave and run out of the theater. Anyway.
I've got a question. What is a shot and where do you put it?
Wherever the shot putter wants to put it. These are big men.
I see. Fair enough.
What else I played? I played, I guess, 3 years of basketball. I played freshman, and then I think I was on the JV team when I was a sophomore. I think I got cut as a junior. And then as a senior, Bob Bergman was the coach, really nice guy. And he said, "Reed, you can make the team. We're going to carry 12 or 13 guys, and you're the 12th or 13th guy. Now, if you don't want that, I get that."
Yeah, right.
And I've done it in the past for people, and it bugs them.
Yeah.
And I said, "I would just be really happy to be on the team, believe me."
Yeah, right.
And he said, "Great." No thanks to me, we won the championship. We went to the North Coast finals, played at Sonoma State, and lost to Camp Olindo or Miramonte or one of those schools over there in that part of the Bay Area.
Those were the schools we ran against all the time.
Yeah, and so that was really good. And so far into the league season, I had yet to play. I played in some of the preseason games. Mm-hmm. We were going to play the worst team in the league, which I think maybe was El Molino from Forestville. And and sort of as a threat to the team, Coach Bergman said, "Now, you know, Reed is going to play in the first quarter tomorrow night." And you could see everybody's face go, "What?" And he said, "No, this is the worst team in the league, and Reed practices just like everybody else, and you guys win every game by 3 points, and he doesn't get to play."
Right.
So, It turned out, I think that was the sweetheart game, like the basketball equivalent of homecoming.
Oh, right.
And so the first quarter's going along, and it's close. It's always close. And so, you know, we're late in the first quarter. We're down by one. He goes, "Reed, you're in." "What?" Yeah, and the hush falls all the stands go, "What? What? We're in first place. What are you doing?" "I want a TT." "Yeah, I want a TT now." And so he puts me in, and I think I was in for maybe 5 minutes, 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. I ended up with an assist, a rebound, I made one basket, and then the other team got a technical.
No.
And he said, Reed, you're shooting the technical.
Oh,
and he told me later, as soon as he said that, he goes, oh, I wonder if I, you know, he never plays, and here it is, a technical foul. He's going to be standing at a free throw all by himself. It's the sweetheart game.
Is this going to scar him for the rest of his life?
Yeah, and miraculously, I made the free throw.
Oh, so, give it to me.
So my stats for the night, 3 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, and we came back and won the game. So, but that wasn't because of me.
See, now the stats for the night or stats for the season?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, I'm Eric Stonestreet from ABC's Modern Family, and you are listening to the Reduce Shakespeare Company's podcast.
Where can you see the RSC? The very best way to stay up to date about all our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to reduceshakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page as well.
See, now that's what I'm talking about, the drama. You know, that's just such a great story. It's as good as any movie. I think there should be a movie of your life.
Or of your
one basketball game.
Well, and it's funny, I think that this is what... This is the kind of, I mean, none of us are jocks, clearly. This is not a secret. But this is I think, what we're bringing to the sports show. And this is what is making the sports show different. We were talking, I don't even know if we talked about it on a podcast. We were talking amongst ourselves, Reed and I, about how is this script different, you know, because we always want to make the shows different as much as we can, but still deliver on the sort of reduced promise of, you know, comedy, laughs, bad jokes, good jokes, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that promise certainly is reduced. Yeah.
Yes, right. It is a reduced promise, but we keep it. We maintain it. But that's part of it, is there's emotion, I think, in this show. A lot of it comic, but still there's emotion in this show that is specific to the subject matter, because we talked a little bit about this last week, about the emotion of sports. And so we all have these little moments, even though as little as we played, we all have these little tiny moments of glory.
Yeah, okay, well, so glory, yes. Now, how about total humiliation? I mean, I got three that I can just chuck right out there that I think actually have scarred me, and probably I'll have to pay for therapy at some point to get over it. But there are three. One was when I actually peed in my pants because I was so nervous.
Oh, no.
The other guy, this is in a tennis tournament, the other guy was walking the walk. He had 3 rackets in a bag. He just looked so cool. And I thought, if I go to take a, you can actually, you know, call a timeout and go have a little restroom break. I thought, I'm going to look weak. I'm going to look weak. So I'm going to play through the pee. And I ran to the net to get a volley, and I actually weed in my pants. And so I then quickly lost the next 2 points so that I could sit down and pretend to spill my Gatorade on me. So, and then went, oh dear, look at that. Oh dear. Okay. And
then, so on the, when you're marking on the stat sheet, that's a save, right?
That's a save. Yeah, thank you very much. At Westchester Junior High, I was finished with speech practice, speech tournament practice, and I was flipping off the lights, and I accidentally turned off the lights to the gym where we were having a basketball game, and
oh, good.
and apparently we were winning, and in the middle of it I've switched off the lights. And
are you sure this wasn't a John Hughes movie?
It should be, shouldn't it? And then when I realized what I had done, I just ran. I legged it. And the next day everyone was like, you know what they did, that school that we're visiting, you know, we were winning, so they just had someone go turn out the lights. And I'm sitting there going, oh, that's terrible, that's terrible. So surely you've got humiliating moments, right? What have you got?
I also have a humiliating urine story.
Oh, great.
I played, the sport I was best at was baseball. Uh-huh. And played Little League starting in 11 and all through high school. Played varsity baseball in high school in Babe Ruth in the summer. Anyway, I was playing Babe Ruth, senior Babe Ruth, I guess. And I think we were over playing in Vallejo, and they're about to play the national anthem, and I've got to pee. And I've got 2 minutes. How long is the national anthem? So I got to get out of the dugout, through the stands, the bag, and then kind of like, so I'm running, and I go, oh, there's the bathroom, and I run in, and I go, where's the urinal?
Uh-oh.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, I don't know. And so I run in. Why are there no urinals in here? So I use the toilet, and I come out, and there's a bunch of kids out there just laughing because I've gone into the woman's room, and I think what they were doing was the sign was painted, woman's was painted on the wall. wall, and I think this must have been a gag they figured out. I think they had a kid standing in front of the WO, so it looked like men's, right? And just waiting for some goofball like me to run into the ladies' room and take a pee.
They got you. Yeah. Well, you know, this is, I hope you have a wee story.
I don't really have a humiliating moment. I'm racking my brain
There's time yet, you know.
No, but what I do remember is that, what I do remember is before a football game and before a track meet, I'd never seen so much gastrointestinal distress from a large group of boys. You know, it's just everybody's got to use the toilet for something. Everybody's got to go. That was football freshman year. So then when I started running track later in the spring, I realized that when you line up full in the blocks, the starters' blocks, and you're waiting for the gun, you're waiting for the umpire or ref, whatever they call it,
the official.
To, you know, on your mark, run us your marks, and then you go to your marks, gets it, bang, and he shoots a gun. I've never felt more nervous, more butterflies, more queasy than in those moments leading up to that gun. I've never felt like that on the stage, ever, 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 no matter how nervous I've been. But before every single race, it was like that. So many butterflies.
Yeah.
All right, for the purposes of this conversation, I'm going to say, yes, I actually peed myself once.
Okay.
I don't think it really is.
One of my summer jobs was umpiring. When I wasn't playing, I umpired youth baseball. And right. Then, of course, I later went on to umpire school and umpired professionally for a season. I had a really big strike three call. I mean, some umpires try to lay low, and I don't know, it was just my thing. I just made a big, loud strike call. Yeah. And so my strike three was right. Strike! So, right?
And glad we're outside for this.
Yeah. And so it's 3-2, and the batter's up there, and the pitch comes in, and I start to go, and I got my big motion, which you obviously can't see on the podcast, but I'm sort of scooting sideways and raising my arm, and I go, ball. Because I was winding up to call him out, and just like in that half second, you know, you play it again in your mind, and I go, really, that's not a strike. But I would have been better off. I got so much crap for that, and rightfully so, because you're 2/3 of the way calling him out and it's a ball? Well, I go, it was a ball. I just should have taken a beat before I called anything.
Wow, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Let me ask this question. We were talking a little bit in rehearsal about the roles that we usually play in the RSC. I'm the intellectual and Reed's the enforcer and Rippy, you're the man-child. How has that changed a little bit in this show? You were talking about this, like your character, Rippy.
Yeah, I was thinking, I think it was when I delivered a line that, for me, was kind of a callback to the Bible show with Children's Illustrated Bible with a real childlike enthusiasm. And then it felt familiar to me and good. Mm-hmm. But then we talked about it, we pulled it back, and quite rightly so, the line was better off with a more straight delivery. And I started looking at other areas in the script where that is true, where I'm not quite childish or the man-child.
Right.
I'm kind of more, I still have that kid-brother relationship with you guys,
right.
But I'm more of the loser, of the kid who wanted to be good, but was always the last to be called, you know, picked for a team, and didn't have a supportive father who played catch, or if we did, he said I threw like a girl, that sort of thing. So it's kind of adapted and different. I like it.
And when we had that discussion, I was thinking, well, you know the Shakespeare show, the America show, and the Bible show, but you, am I right? You haven't performed in Hollywood or books or Millennium.
Right.
And so I think, and this may be a reflection that character has evolved over time, partly over who's been playing it.
Yeah.
And I think also as we've gotten older, the younger guy, although he's still younger than us, is older than he used to be. So what used to be maybe kind of charming sort of seems inappropriate.
Absurd.
Right.
Well, yeah.
And also you had said, Reed, you made the point on when we had this conversation that he's the same guy, but he's wounded.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wounded aspect to your character. And I think that's actually true for all of us. Again, getting back to the emotion of sports and these moments of glories that we haven't had. You know, right. I think we all bring a sense of... there's something about sport. There's something about the winning and losing, you know, about the drama of it. There's always got to be you know, victory, but that comes at a price of sacrifice or whatever, or you know, if somebody wins, that means somebody has to lose, and we've all been on both sides of that, so, mostly of them.
So what do you see your character? How does that manifest in your character in the sports show?
I'm so flattered that you think I've actually thought about my character.
But you said that this is a guy who ended up being a sportscaster.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wasn't actually talented. I mean, I think Matt's character in the show was talented, yeah, and had an overbearing father who told him he was no good, and so he was discouraged,
right,
and became sort of thinking he wasn't good, although he,
right,
was.
Yeah.
And yours, the sportscaster,
yeah,
who maybe never made the team?
Well, yeah. I think I'm the guy who didn't have the talent to make the team, even though he was maybe the smartest player out there. He just didn't have the skills.
I have a line in the show that my character is the ex-jock turned sportscaster with extensive insider knowledge of the game that I'm unable to articulate.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm the bookish intellectual whose wimpy demeanor masks a deceptively detailed understanding of the game.
And I'm the telegenic eye candy who just stands there and looks pretty.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your moments of glory via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, and our Reduced Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, starting bench warmer Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to reduced reader subscriber Mark John Fletcher. No reason, it's just random. Thanks to Eric Stone Street, the Emmy nominated breakout star from TV's Modern Family, who I hope will have his own moment of glory at this Sunday night's Emmy Awards. Thanks very much for listening. I'm Austin Titchener.
I'm Reed Martin.
I'm Matt Rippey.
And we are 194/194ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.